This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Later in the program, we'll discuss the return of the Over the Rhine International Film Festival. But first, for many years, the United States had an average of 38 tragic deaths annually when a child was left in a hot car, for a total of 742 deaths between 1998 and 2017. That changed during the pandemic. We're going to talk about why and discuss prevention strategies with our guests today. Joining me now are American Academy of Pediatrics Ohio Chapter President-elect and Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel pediatrician, Dr. Chris Peltier. Welcome, Dr. Peltier.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
And the Sophia Foundation for Children's Safety co-founder and president, Karen Onsorio. Thank you so much for being here, Karen.
Hi, thank you. The pleasure is mine.
If you have questions or comments, you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Dr. Peltier, I'd like to start with you. Can you talk with us a little bit about the science of why this happens? I know you've recently been an author of a paper that looked into these tragic cases. What is going on with parents in terms of what's going on in their heads when something like this happens?
Lucy, that's a great question. And just I wanted to give a little bit of background before I dive into that, just to sort of let your listeners sort of know how quickly, this situation can result in a tragedy. When the outside temperature is 90 degrees outside, and it can take a child less than 10 minutes to unfortunately die. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, the body surface area ratio of a child to body mass is greater than an adult. And also the way a child sort of thermoregulates their temperature is much less than that of an adult. So essentially what that results in is that a child's body heat rises almost five times faster than an adult's can. And when your body temperature, core body temperature reaches 104 degrees, your organs can shut down. Mm-hmm. And when that core temperature reaches 107, unfortunately, that will result in death. And even if, the time is less than that and a child is extracted before that fatal event occurs, we often will see severe organ failure and damage can occur. So it's something that can happen, especially as we get into July and August in these extreme temperatures. It's something that can happen very quickly. And I think there's often a misunderstanding. You know, parents, I think, including myself, I'm a parent of two children, would think, well, gosh, I would never do this, right? How could I forget my child and leave them in a car? And it's not that parents are, that this happens to, are neglectful. There is a lot of science behind that. And there's two sort of psychological principles that are in play here. One is a failure of prospective memory. And when we think about memory, there's really two types of memory. There's retrospective memory, which is that memory where we store names of people, times, words, and events that we've experienced in the past. In contrast, prospective memory involves remembering to do something after a pause or a delay, like stopping at a store on your way to taking your child to daycare, or forgetting to take your medicine before bedtime if you had to stop and do something. Maybe you spilled a glass of water and you had to clean that up. Much more common than retrospective memory failure. So we know that things like multitasking, being on autopilot, or having our routine disrupted is very common, will very commonly lead to prospective memory failure. And that hallmark is really a change in routine. And we often see this in times of transition, so from leaving from home to work. The other thing that contributes to that is sleep deprivation. So we know when we're more tired and more stressed, we're more likely to experience that prospective memory failure. So again, we're in a routine, we do things all the time, but any sort of change in our routine can just sort of trigger that forgetting to do something that we would normally automatically do. Mm. The second psychological sort of phenomenon is the creation of false memories. And a false memory is when you thought you did something when you really didn't. So for instance, commonly you realize at lunch that you forgot to bring your lunch to work, even though you may really vividly recall picking up your lunchbox off the kitchen counter and bringing it to work. So, you know, oftentimes we, you know, in these situations, the parents have, because they do it all the time, and sort of that false memory of, yeah, I dropped my child off at daycare. I took them out of the car seat and dropped them off at daycare. And almost all of us have had this experience at some time or other. So it's really those two psychological phenomenon that really contribute to the tragedy of forgetting to leave your child in a car seat on a hot day.
Well, I want to go back to some of the science that you mentioned when we started, and that is, you know, we've had a number of days already where it's been in the 90s. You talked about how children overheat so much more quickly than adults. How quickly can it become dangerously hot inside a car when the temperature's, you know, 90, 95 degrees outside?
Yeah. So really within a matter of minutes. So temperature rises almost 20 degrees. You know, when you're talking in the high 80s, 90s, temperature rises, you know, 19 degrees in that first 10 minutes and 40 degrees within an hour. So, you know, again, I think I had mentioned that within 10 minutes on a day of 90, you know, body temperature can raise, you know, well above 100 and really puts children in sort of that critical zone. So we're really talking a matter of less than 10 minutes.
And is it dangerous inside a car, even when the temperatures are lower? We're talking about these very hot days, but some parents may not think about, you know, is it dangerous even when it's in the 80s or the high 70s? What's the situation there?
Sure. Again, it's going to maybe take a little bit longer, but anytime, you know, you are in a locked environment, you have a small child that gets hotter faster than adults, has a different body mass to surface area ratio, you are putting your child at risk. It may take a little bit longer for the damage to occur, but definitely anytime a child is left in a car, it's a potential for a disaster, unfortunately. Mm.
And we mentioned at the top of the show, that in the introduction to the program, that these incidences, we've had so many tragic incidences over many, many years, but they decreased during the pandemic. Can you talk to us about the reasons behind that?
Sure. I think the biggest reason is the fact that early on in the pandemic and for several months, many people were offices were shut down. People were working from home. Daycares were shut down. So we weren't in that routine. Number one, parents weren't driving to work. They weren't taking their children to daycare. They were staying at home much more often. So as a consequence, the opportunity for this to happen wasn't happening as much. Now that almost majority of people are back to work in their offices and daycares are open, you know, the concern is that we're going to again to see pre-pandemic levels of this than we did before.
And how much of a decrease was there?
So Karen, I'm going to say I don't have that data. I'm going to actually turn to my colleague Karen and ask her if she has that data.
Yeah, it has been over 50% reduction. So pre-pandemic time, approximately 60 kids per year. And now we, you know, in the pandemic, 2021, around 20.
Mm. Karen, talk to us about the inspiration for the Sophia Foundation and the important work the foundation is doing.
So, you know, I have to tell you, this is in honor of my daughter, and she was left on the vehicle while I was working. And so I would not say that this is necessarily an inspiration or something that I would see myself doing. I see it more as a responsibility. And I wish that I have received information in a non-threatening way at that time, so I could say, oh, this could be me, and do something about it. And so the foundation is trying to be forward thinking about habits of adoption, and you know, not necessarily focus on the event itself, more about what can you do to prevent it, and how can we, you know, increase the dialogue about this with the right communities so people can take action.
Well, Karen, I just want to say how sorry I am about the loss of your daughter. I remember when that happened a few years ago, and my heart broke for you then and breaks for you now. I mean, I can remember having a little bitty one in the back seat and getting halfway to work before I remembered, oh no, I didn't drop her off. And it's something that can happen to the best and most devoted parents. Can you tell us about the campaign the Sophia Foundation has going on now to raise awareness and really help parents avoid the heartbreak and tragedy that you experienced?
So, you know, we're a nonprofit and all volunteer. So it's like a group of people who decides to help, yes, and create that work. And everything started with colleagues, yes, and friends that felt for me and my family and wanted to do something to help me when I could not do something for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the strength not to even, you know, live. I will be very transparent on that. And a lot of people started, you know, saying, let's go to the government. Let's do this. Let's do that. And my heart say, well, this would not have happened if I have heard it from someone who I trust. Mm. And at that time, I wrote a letter, which I don't remember. You know, it was like, just like I wrote the letter and I sent it out. And like there were floods of ideas on how to help. And it started with like, okay, so how do we put like a name? And there was like one of my boss that she said, well, you know, what do you need to do? Mm. Back in the back is something like a habit that it makes you always check and is foolproof. Yes, because when you're in autopilot, it will force you to break that and come out of that. It's like a seriously, you're in autopilot, and it helps you stop and go back and open the door. Mm. And there have been people that have practiced it, and I have received very beautiful messages that was like the difference for them.
Yeah.
So it's simple, catchy, you know, and it's only one thing. So that's like that is the effort, the foundation. We have been trying to influence those who parents trust the most, and you know, at moments where habits that parents are willing to incorporate our habits, and usually that is when a new baby is born in the hospital. So we're trying to put our messages in hospital bags, and you know, and to try to work with like nurses and pediatrician community to provide that message on those stages or during birth classes. And so that's a little bit about the effort and that we're doing. I'm partnering with, you know, Pampers and TriHealth, which have been key to getting the message out.
Well, I know we'll talk more about this bag in the back message, and we'll continue our conversation about preventing pediatric vehicular heat stroke in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Later in the program, we'll discuss how the Over the Rhine International Film Festival encourages conversations about diversity through film. Now we continue our conversation about preventing pediatric vehicular heat stroke. And I'm talking with American Academy of Pediatrics Ohio Chapter President-elect and Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel pediatrician, Dr. Chris Peltier, and the Sophia Foundation for Children's Safety co-founder and president, Karen Onsorio. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. Karen, before the break, we were talking about the work that your foundation is doing to really raise awareness. Can you talk to us a little bit more about some of the factors that contribute to these tragic accidents, just in terms of memory and that autopilot that goes on in folks' heads? Can you walk us through a little bit more of those factors?
So, as Dr. Chris Peltier beautifully, you know, discusses like like, you know, false memories and autopilot are two of like the leading causes for behavioral history. We have, you know, we did run a survey to start kind of asking parents of children between 0 to 5 whether at any given point in their life they have experienced an autopilot with their kids in the car. And, you know, well, people didn't want to talk at that time. We got like a 1 out of 50 say yes. That is a huge number. And if you think, when you look at the numbers of death, you know, you can say that a lot of those parents were lucky, were the lucky ones, that they went back to the car and the kid was there. Mm-hmm. Okay. But for some others, that's not their case and that's not their truth. So while for the ones that has happened, they have taken action, and many of them have done technology and they're trying to do their awareness as a way to kind of like say, hey, this can happen. And still, you know, there's much more that can be done.
Mm, yeah. Dr. Peltier, can you talk with us? I know before the break, Karen was talking about this idea of having trusted people talk with parents about this tragic situation that can occur and this bag in the back approach. What do you think as a pediatrician, or is this something that you talk with your patients and families about? It? Do you think it's something that should be on kind of a checklist that pediatricians discuss with parents and new parents?
Lucy, I definitely do. It's very important. You know, that's one of the main roles of a pediatrician during well-child visits is to provide what we call anticipatory guidance, which is talking to parents a lot about safety things. So you think about all of the things that we talk to parents about, you know, and one of them involves car seats. You know, one of the things that for many, many years, we've talked about proper fitting of car seats, the proper positioning of car seats. This naturally flows right along with car seat safety. This is just as important. So I think it's very easy. I would say almost every pediatrician I know talks about car seats rear facing until age 2, making sure proper fit. I think it just takes another few seconds to talk about making sure some things that you can do, like bag in the back, to make sure that when you're going to work, taking your child to daycare, that you don't become a victim of prospective memory failure or have a false memory that you leave your child in the back. And that's one of the reasons that the Ohio chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics and PAMPERS have partnered together to really do some professional education. The Sophia Foundation has done wonderful work, not only educating parents, but also healthcare providers and daycare providers, who I think are another group that needs to be educated, but also can help educate their families how perfect timing, you know, when they're bringing their child into daycare, they're first meeting their prospective children that are going to be at daycare, talking to them about that. And if you go to, if pediatricians and healthcare providers go to bagintheback.org, there's lots of resources for pediatricians and healthcare providers as far as flyers that you can print out and give with your newborn packet. You can print out flyers and put them on the wall. There's brochures that you can order. I think this is just as important as all of the other things that we talk about. Hot water temperature, hot water heater temperature, smoke alarms, drowning prevention. This has to be up there because, as we've documented, it happens, and unfortunately, it will happen again.
And Dr. Peltier, I want to make sure that our listeners know that we do have a link to information about Bag in the Back on our website, wvxu.org. So please check that out for additional information about this very important campaign. Dr. Peltier, you mentioned earlier that even if these cases aren't fatal, that children can suffer very serious harm after being left in a car for just a short amount of time. Can you talk to us about the non-fatal impacts that children can have, that can result from this?
Sure. So just things that we think about not happening when you're locked in a car, but just even to when you're playing outside, right? So heat stroke, hypothermia, those things where kids basically go into shock, they become dehydrated, and you run the risk of basically your heart shutting down because your body is in circulatory shock. When your blood's not pumping, your organs don't get oxygen, and resulting in damage, kidney damage, and unfortunately, even brain damage. We know that when the brain does not get oxygen, it can cause permanent damage and result in things like loss of motor function, loss of cognition, loss of speech. So almost like having a stroke, which is essentially what happens in a stroke, is that the brain doesn't receive oxygen. And although we don't think about heart attacks or cardiac arrest being common in young children, right? When the heart doesn't receive oxygen because a child may be in circulatory shock, they essentially can also suffer a heart attack, and that muscle of the heart can die and can also ultimately result in death.
Mm. Karen, I want to, you've been incredibly generous and I would say courageous talking about your experience on the program today. I can't imagine what you went through with your daughter. Do you feel like there is an unfair stigma that surrounds parents and families who experience these losses? And I wonder, is the foundation working to try to kind of combat that too?
So yeah, the stigma, you know, is present. And, you know, in a perfect world, we will be living without biases and with a lot of, you know, acceptance to when people make mistakes. Yes, but that's not the world we're living today. And, you know, when it comes to children, people do have more opinions because they see them defenseless. So sometimes the anger is, it comes also from frustration and for trying to defend children. So, I have come to acceptance that not everyone who critiques or the ones who kind of like are angry are because, you know, they're bad people. It's just they don't understand. Mm. So again, like this is we're trying to drive dialogue through the voices that matters through some of these people. My voice does not matter. I will say very honest, I am not a pediatrician. So I need the pediatricians and I need the right people advocating on the behalf of the foundation. And so that's as much as I can tell you. You know, I don't feel that that I am equipped to drive the message along. Yes, this has to be like a community effort and with the right people in place. And I am also not saying that the people who are angry or stigmatizing, they're humans and we have feelings, and that's part of the journey and it's acceptance.
Yeah. Well, your voice, Karen, certainly matters to me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Lucy. Karen, I would say your voice matters, and you really are a partner, and parents like you, or whether we're talking about other advocacy issues, unintentional firearm injuries, drowning, it's your stories that really, I think, empower us and really impassion us to really educate families so that no other family has to unfortunately go what you go through. So I do want you to know that your voice does matter. And we really view you and other families that have gone through similar things as partners.
Yeah. I agree with that. Your voice has been very important during this conversation. I'm sure your voice and your work with the foundation is going to make a huge difference in the lives of others. I've been talking with American Academy of Pediatrics Ohio Chapter President-elect and Pediatric Associates of Mount Carmel pediatrician Dr. Chris Peltier and the Sophia Foundation for Children's Safety co-founder and president Karen Onsorio. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll talk about the return of the Over the Rhine International Film Festival. This is Cincinnati Edition.